111. The Flag of Rebellion. 9 years ago.
I'm sorry, Onanimi, Lumo said. I cannot authorize this for one honor bearer. I just... Zeth, you have to know how this looks. It's insane.
It's truth, Lumo, Zeth said.
He stood, blade in hand, before his old home on the clifftop, the small town and war camp outside the Stoneward Monastery. He stood in roughly the last place he'd seen his mother before leaving. She lived in a city a short flight away. He had been tempted to seek her out, but not like this. He would wait until he was seen as a hero. Strange how much this place he'd hated now felt like returning home. He'd saved Lumo years ago from a burning ship during that infamous attack on the raiders. The red-bearded man was now the general of the entire place, straight-backed, tall, with a neat uniform. This camp maintained the discipline that Naturo had instilled. That was clear from the soldiers arrayed to meet Zeth. Soldiers who, despite his history with them, didn't believe.
"Can you offer proof?" Lumo asked.
"My own word is my proof," Zeth said, "and my station as honor-bearer."
"Honor-bearer Posen visited us last night," Lumo said softly. "Else called right into the center of the camp. He said you were a delusional heretic who couldn't be trusted."
"And what," Zeth said quietly, "do you think of Posen?"
The soldiers shared looks. All was still for a moment as a cold highland breeze greeted them.
"He is not a soldier," Zeth said. "Did he send us help when we held here alone against raiders? Did he bring his blade and fight by our side? Did he even seem to care?"
They did not respond.
"Something is wrong in this land," Zeth said. "You know it. Right before I left you, I was to be banished. Then suddenly the narrative changed, bizarrely, and I was rewarded. It was the Unmade. They all obey it. I swear it to you."
"You hear a voice," Lumo said, "telling you to do things."
"Each honor-bearer does," Zeth said.
Silence. He knew from their expressions that he had failed. These capable soldiers were lost to him. At least that was what he assumed, until salvation arrived, in the form of an enemy army. One of Lumo's soldiers spotted it, raising the alarm. The banners, Zeth saw as he turned, were of the other monasteries, an army multiple times larger than his emerging through an else-called portal to fight. In that moment he knew retreat was impossible against else-gates.
"It is time," Zeth said. "We fight." "I cannot join you, Zeth," Lumo said, pained.
"Then," Zeth said, meeting his eyes, "you shall instead have to watch them slaughter me."
Shortly thereafter, Zeth raised the flag of rebellion and led his army against the forces of the honor-bearers. But today, he did not kill. The way he'd slain dozens in the previous battle haunted him. He felt as if their souls watched him from the quiet places beneath the stones where the Spren were said to lurk. He knew why the honor-bearers refused to use their weapons against the raiders, although he hadn't said so to Lumo. It was too much. So today, he led. He glowed, he hovered before his men, and he shouted encouragement. They were outnumbered, but at least had their backs to the cliffs, so they couldn't be surrounded. He thought this position must be good, as his soldiers would fight more valiantly, knowing the weakness of a retreat was forbidden them. Indeed, they fought better this time, even if the individual soldiers missed a great number of strikes and didn't seem to understand the flow of the conflict. Zeth kept them fighting with shouts and orders, and because he didn't fight, the other honor-bearers didn't join the fray. He could see their banners, one from each of the other monasteries, including the Bondsmith Monastery, which was curious. So he was arrayed against 7 banners, all but the Windrunner, Stoneward, and Skybreaker. He let his armies begin retreating up the switchback to the clifftop war camp, but only under pressure from his shamans. Still, he kept them fighting. He kept them desperate. Until, at last, the armies of the Stoneward Monastery above came to Zeth's rescue. As he'd hoped, they were unable to watch as one of their own was destroyed. Zeth rose into the air, afire with stormlight, listening to the glorious sound of their trumpets, crystal-clear notes accompanying a force marching down the switchbacks to join Zeth's troops. Something swelled in Zeth at the sound, the sign of that glorious force marching with bright helmets and shields held high. This was the moment when his flaming ember became a wildfire, the moment when resistance against the Voidbringers truly began and the desolation was opposed. He landed in a storm of light.
"It's true," whispered Drodli, one of his head shamans, his helmet askew with a dent in one side and blood, not his, on his armor. "They are coming, as you said. What would we have done if they hadn't?"
"We'd have died," Zeth said calmly. "Better to die than to let the return happen unresisted." Drodli gave him a horrified look at that. Never mind. Better soldiers were coming. His shamans were, he noticed, yelling for the men to take heart at the sight, something he likely should have done. Instead, he flew up to speak to Lumo at the head of the new troops.
"We'll fight, Zeth," he said, "but only because you're on the defensive, and they apparently want to exterminate you. Something strange is going on, and it's time that we had some respect here, rather than being considered second class because we lack an honor bearer."
Those were not quite the words of a glorious champion for truth, but they would do. Zeth flew back down, and the Stoneward army began to support his ranks. As the troops were bolstered, stabilizing on the incline, a favorable position, he shouted a challenge to the enemy armies. Other honor-bearers materialized. First Moss, who should have been his friend, then Sivvy. Posen was making those closest to Zeth come first, hoping they would die by his blade. Well, today he refused. He was no assassin, no murderer crafted to do evil. He sought them out and clashed with them, but made no killing blows. He merely fought until Moss broke and fled. Sivvy waited until that fight was done, then came in next. Though she could bend the stones to her will, he made certain not to leave the soil. She refused to Elsgate away, and so theirs was mostly a duel of sword against sword, fought on the ground in the middle of the enemy ranks, who made room for them and did not try to interfere. Zeth did her the honor of minimizing his use of powers, and therefore had to spend a good 5 minutes fighting until he managed to disarm her and send her sprawling across the grass in a heap, her short hair falling and obscuring her eyes.
"You're strong," she whispered. "Stones unhallowed, how did you get so strong?"
"Because," he said, leveling his blade at her, "I fight to protect our land. Join me, and we will be two."
"Zeth," she said, "you're confused. That wasn't an unmade you saw."
"I will not be persuaded by you." She sighed and sat up.
"Well, at least you let yourself be distracted by a duel."
"Distracted?" Trumpets sounded behind him. He turned with horror and saw the troops from the Stoneward Monastery retreating. No, worse, reforming and turning their weapons against his troops, who were now trapped between two enemy forces.
"Traitors!" Zeth shouted. "Treason!"
Everything crumbled. His vision of a glorious resistance, his men leading a wildfire of change that saved the world itself. He screamed in denial and shot through the sky in a lashing, an arrow in flight. He slammed against the ground between his forces and those of the traitors, Lumo at their head. He opened his mouth to demand answers, and a figure stepped out from among them. A stout man with a short beard, thinning hair, a friendly smile. Naturo, his father. A lightning bolt of shock jolted through Zeth. His father was a captive, a prisoner,
"Hello, son," Naturo said, stopping a few feet in front of him. "We thought that Lumo and his troops might listen to reason if I spoke to them."
"Light weaving," Zeth whispered. "You aren't real."
"I'm sorry," Naturo said, wearing his old uniform, but with new colors.
blue, brown, and green, the bondsmith colors. Naturo summoned an honor blade with a wavy blade and writing along it, then placed it into the ground in front of him.
I am real, Zeth. When Sivi and Posen came to me with this offer, I didn't know what to think. Grand Senator? Bondsmith? Leader of our people? They said it might be the only way to save you. So I listened, and, well, I've heard him now, son.
The voice, Zeth whispered.
He says you turned your back on him. Father, he's not a Voidbringer, son,
Naturo said.
I've met him. I don't know what he is. A god, perhaps, as he says. But he's not one of them.
Zeth
put a hand to his forehead.
No, you can't be real.
Naturo dismissed his blade, then stepped forward, arms out, and Zeth backed up. His father kept coming until he embraced Zeth.
And stones. It was him. We have to stop this madness, Naturo said. The voice is committed, but I know there must be another way.
I'm following my heart, father, Zeth whispered. I'm trying to do what is right. I've always tried to do what is right.
I know, Naturo said. I know.
Zeth squeezed his eyes closed, and he was a little boy again, standing before a rock that would go on to kill every bit of joy in his life.
Zeth,
his father said, his arms warm, his voice warmer,
I've realized why I followed you all those years.
Why?
I thought you might lead me to answers.
He gave Zeth a squeeze.
You did.
Naturo had answers.
Suddenly the horror of what Zeth had done overwhelmed him. He'd killed dozens with an honor blade. He'd raised an army to fight his own people. If he was wrong, why had he thought he could trust his own judgment? He was a fool and a child, and he always had been.
Tell me what to do, Zeth whispered, and I'll do it. If you tell me.